EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. First we meet Crystal in Florida, and while living in Vienna, Austria, a guest at a dinner party gave us something to touch, an object of the occult, resulting in an interdimensional vampiric entity that drained her life force nearly to the point of death. Then we make our way to California to hear from Nino. Nino would hear strange noises above his house, then one night awoke to find a thin and slender being in his house, somewhat perplexed and confused when he woke up the next day in bed. Crystal is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Crystal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Florida.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Now, Crystal, you have some experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes. I believe I had a experience with a vampire. It was an interdimensional type of being or energy or entity. And this was when I was living in Vienna, Austria. I had taken off some time, a couple of years from my studies, and I traveled around the world, and I ended up staying in Vienna, Austria for quite some time, and it was a beautiful city. It was also had a very dark side. It has, of course, this very Gothic type of architecture and the medieval history and the little neighborhoods around Vienna, Austria that are also steeped in history and they have their own character. So it's a very modern place, but it also has this intrigue to it where it's right at the border between East and West and it's well known for espionage and intrigue. So there's a different layer to Vienna as well. And I was just, I loved it there. And so I stayed a while. And I was living with some friends in a very big type of flat. It wasn't all in one room. We each had our own spaces, but it was a very big kind of, I don't know how else to, a condo, a flat in Vienna. So I had friends, I'd made friends, and so it was on the eve of my birthday, 24th birthday, and my friends were having a party for me, which was very nice. I'd invited everybody, and we had a dinner, and one of the other girls that lived there, I didn't know this, but, you know, she brought someone else to the event, and she used to wear this fetish around her neck, and I didn't ask about it. I didn't really take an active interest or curiosity in it, but she brought it to the table and said, oh, would you like to see this? And I looked at it, and it was looking like a kind of an organic-looking thing, homemade, and I said, well, what is that? And she said, well, it was given to me, and it has a name. It's called the Esh. I said, Esh? Okay. She handed it to me, so I handled it and looked at it. It was like a round object, and she said it's just full of herbs and things. Well, I had seen things like this throughout South America, traveling and speaking with or encountering shamans or native practitioners of what we would call witch doctors, but they were really shamans, and they would use these type of mixtures of different herbs in their rituals and things, so shamanistic type of practice. But I didn't make the connection at that time. So, okay, she kept it. She was very, very particular about this type of object she wore. So that night, I went to sleep. I'm a very sound sleeper. I don't usually wake up easily, but I was startled awake as if something or someone was in the room. Like a rustling noise or something just startled me awake. And I was waiting to see it, who was there, what was there. And I had the feeling that there was something or someone there. And I spoke. I said, I felt like I should speak or say something. I said, you know, I'm here. I'm friendly. I'm not a foe. I thought I should just say, come in peace or something. Because I felt like there was some element of menace to it almost. But then I guess eventually I went back to sleep. I managed to calm down enough to, you know, see that maybe I was dreaming or hallucinating or something. Too much champagne. I don't know. But anyway, then I went back to sleep. And I should also preface this by saying I'm normally a very healthy person. I don't have health problems, thank God, you know, that I have need of constant medical care. I'm generally someone that takes care of their health within reason. So I woke up the next morning in excruciating pain. I was very surprised. I was perfectly fine the day before. And so my friends said, well, you know, I said, there must be something wrong with me. You've got to take me to the doctor or something. And so I went. They could find really nothing wrong with me organically. So they gave me some pills. Or you just, you know, have a cramp or something. So this continued on for 3 months. And I kept getting progressively not well. Although my body was fine. Doctors could find nothing wrong with me. It's just the pain was very strong to the point that it was difficult to go about daily tasks. And my friends started to think, you know, you're a little bit nuts, but they could see that there was something wrong with me. And so I came to believe that this was not because medical doctors, and I kept going back, said, oh, you know, just take these pills for cramps. But they weren't helping. So I started to believe there was something else going on. And the same time, my body, my hearing was getting very strong, and I was able to sense things about people. I had acquired a certain sensitivity about people, knowing things about people that, you know, before I might not have paid attention to. A certain intuition was strengthened. It's as if I started to see things in a very kind of interdimensional or through the ethers about people in, a more spiritual way. And I thought, you know, there's just, this illness is not going away, whatever it is. And I called a Hindu holy man, right, who is familiar with shamanistic practices, with shamans and with rituals and with spiritual and interdimensional entities. And so I called, and he was a good friend of mine. We're actually distant cousins. And so he said to me, I told him the problem. And he said, you know, if you don't listen very carefully to me, you will be dead in a month. This is like a vampiric entity that's attached itself to you, and it's squeezing out your life force through your base chakra. You know, we all have glands in our body, and they correspond to chakra or energy centers of our bodies, right? You know, the pineal gland is the third eye in the brain, the solar plexus, you know, the heart. You know, and all these, although they correspond to our physical body, glandular system, they also correspond, according to, you know, this Hindu holy man, to our energy centers, our chakral centers, where the astral body resides. So this was an etheric situation. He said an astral or some type of interdimensional entity that was just like a vampire sucking out the life force out of my body through the root chakra, right? The root chakra, which corresponds to, like, you know, the lower groin area. So it was very, very painful. And he says, if you don't do something, we've got to get rid of it, because it was a vampiric, like, interdimensional energy drain, a vampire, really. Now, it did come with some benefits. You know, I did get some type of, once you touch the etheric plane like that, and you interact with it, it does develop some type of acute, your senses become stronger somehow, your intuition becomes stronger. I don't know exactly how to describe it. You just become more aware, but it comes at a physical price. In my case, I was being literally drained of all this energy, and I was just going to not survive it if I didn't have some type of shamanistic or some type of intervention. So he told me what some of the things I should do. And I should do these repeatedly. And I told him about the fetish that I had handled. He said, well, that's what it was. It was the interface between, you know, the energy fields within that fetish. The shaman imbued it with some kind of fetish, and this girl carried it around on her as some kind of conduit. But for some reason, it attacked and was attracted to my life force. It really, really fed off of my life force like a vampire. But it was an interdimensional type of thing. Didn't like have a physical presence. It was a presence, absolutely, but not one that I could see there. That's a vampire that just walked in the door. So, but it was absolutely some type of astral presence or etheric plane or interdimensional entity like a vampire. And so I had to do these different rituals, cleanse the chakras. Anyway, took about 6 months, but I recovered. I did recover, and I'm alive. But I did have an encounter with a vampire. I believe that was some type of interdimensional vampire.
So it looks like this woman gave you this zeshta to hold for that particular purpose.
That's what it appears to have been, the situation. Yeah, on purpose. Handed it to me, and it carried a charge, or it carried some type of bell, or I don't know how else to say it, that it carried this, I don't know, ancient curse with it, and it happened to latch itself onto me. But without the help of my Hindu holy man, also my friend, I would have never survived it.
And you never met this individual again?
With the girl?
Yeah.
No, I did not. I did not want to, actually. Because I told her to get rid of it. I told her what the situation was. I said, you may not realize this, but this is, you know, there might be a network of people with these fetishes, and they drain, they're like energy drainers, life force from different people. I said, you really need to get rid of it. And she wouldn't do it. She didn't believe me. But it was all true, and I stand by it, and I believe it.
Interesting. And what did the shaman make you do to cleanse yourself for these 6 months?
Okay, well, one thing is you have to change the energy fields around your body, and nothing works better than salt water, mantras, right? Because the belief that in this modern age, the gods or God or whatever has interacted strongly through a sound vibration. God is incarnated as a sound vibration. So mantras do a lot to clear your aura, and bathing in salt water while doing cleansing mantras every day. you know, and imagining all the negativity going out of you like black sludge and going down the drain, right? Because nature will cleanse your body and clean it. But salt changes the, and it has to be blessed salt or holy salt. And it has to be just natural salt water form. And you just imagine the white light, you imagine all the negativity coming out of you, all the pain out of you, out of your chakra, out of your energy, feels like little sludge or little worms and just going down the drain away from you. That was very important. And then just doing mantras, prayers, like we would call them prayers. And that worked pretty well.
And your health recovered, but and it was completely back to normal again.
Oh, yes, yes. It did. It took about 6 months, but I didn't have any problems like that again. And I'm serious. I did go to doctors for about 3 months trying to figure out why I had these horrible incapacitating cramps. Nobody could figure it out. Said, oh, well, you know, take these pills for cramps. They'll go away. No, they did all kinds of tests, too. So I believe the shaman. It was a case of, my root chakra being drained of life force. And it was such a powerful thing that it affected my body. And I was reminded of the movie, not that this is exactly how it happened, but it's a very good analogy. When Count Dracula would drain blood from Lucy and she would get weaker and weaker and nobody would, the doctors couldn't figure out why. Well, it was similar.
Because there are definitely people around which seem to zap your energy and take your energy away from you. They're certainly out there.
Yes, and that's true, but this was heightened with this fetish, this type of fetish that she just really was very attached to. And I think it carried some kind of charge with it. Might have harbored the spirit of it, the entity, I don't know for sure, but I think it might have.
And did she say where she got it from?
She said somebody gave it to her, a man. She didn't specify who, but somebody she knew, who practiced black magic or something like that.
Yeah, it's possible someone's given it to her and then she's trying to, well, not knowingly trying to pass it on to someone else.
And that's what it does. It sort of sucks out the energy from people. And it's, in my case, especially in my case, I had a reaction to it that was particularly powerful.
So definitely be aware if someone gives you something unusual. Or be careful when you're going around thrift stores.
Right. Everything will have an energy to it. Everything will. And you have to really be careful. It's like food. You don't want to just put anything in your body. You don't just want to eat everything. You have to be careful what you touch as well.
Yeah, certainly. I had a guest on a while ago and she was an artist. So she used to go around all the charity and thrift stores and she used to pick up paintings, but she would only really use the frame and then she'd do her own artwork and then put her artwork in these, you know, these beautiful frames that she discovered. And one frame in particular caused a few strange things to happen around a house and studio.
That happens, you know, that carries the electrical charge or some type of charge from its surroundings. It carries carries it with it. You know, I have a friend who's I don't know if the witch is the right word, but she's always saying if you get anything from thrift stores or secondhand, you have to do a cleansing on it of all the energies and make it your own.
I think some people do certainly connect with objects, especially if they've had these objects and they love these objects around the house. You know, there's many happy memories. Then they pass. It's very possible, you know, they latch themselves to this object and, you know, go wherever.
Now, I heard the legends about jade, like how prized jade is among the Chinese, of course, and they would wear these jade, and it's supposed to be a very hard stone. And jade, you're not supposed to have to wear jade that has belonged to another person. Supposedly, that's why it was buried with the owner, jade. So my mother had died when I was a young child, and my mother wore jade bracelet. And I remember I put on her jade bracelet. It was jade and gold. Not thinking, you know, I thought, well, you know, it's a memory of my mother. And I wore it, and the same day, it cracked open and broke. You know, so objects definitely acquire the energies of their owner, right? Like our material world is not as solid as we may think it is. It's really the spiritual that rules. It imbues the material.
I agree. That's certainly interesting, Crystal.
Well, thank you. It was very nice to talk to you because I really haven't told the story. There was more to it, but that is the most important part of it, that you really have to be careful not just what you eat or drink or who you associate with, but what you touch as well and what you bring around you. It was an experience.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, you can't bless and stuff everything that you touch and all that. But yeah, you can certainly be careful about what you bring into your body as well as what you bring into your house.
True.
And yeah, a lot of these accounts go completely unheard.
Well, I'm so glad I now know about your podcast. I can listen in because these stories are interesting. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast and to tell this story.
Absolutely, and you're more than welcome.
Well, you know, there's also experiences I've had, speaking of objects, that, you know, places seem to maintain or hold on to the memory of what has happened there in the past. Might be a little bit different of a story, but, you know, I was walking, well, it was in Chartres Cathedral, which is in France, and while I was there in Chartres, I spent the night near the cathedral, and in the middle of the night, I woke up to what sounded like horses and carriages. You know, horses and carriages, and, you know, they didn't really have horses and carriages in Chartres at that time. Everyone had automobiles. But I woke up thinking that, you know, there were, like, the sound of horses and carriages outside. And then it occurred to me, it stayed for a moment, and then it went away. I thought, well, maybe that was like a glimpse back in time from the charge or the electrical charge that it keeps in that area of 100 years ago or 200 years ago when everyone had horses and carriages and that's how they got around. And for some moment, brief moment, there was like a time interface and I got to glimpse or hear what went on back in time, like a time travel almost. So, you know, that was interesting. I also had an experience like that in Hamburg, kind of glimpsing something back in time. You know, I was walking around the Hamburg, this was in Germany, the big harbor that they had. And it was a very important harbor, I guess, during World War II, right? And World War I, it was just, they had a lot of warships, I guess, staged there during the 20th century conflicts. But I was walking around looking. And just for a moment, it's like I turned around and I looked what I thought the whole scene changed just for a brief moment. And I saw a bunch of Nazi flags. And I thought, wait a minute, they don't have Nazi flags anymore. And then I turned and they were gone. So I think, again, it carried that strong kind of electrical charge where for a brief moment I glimpsed back in time. So places can have memories, too, like that, where maybe we can glimpse back in time what it was like or hear or see something. I know our material universe is not that material. It's kind of malleable.
I think we live side by side to these dimensions. And I think now and again, you're right, you know, we kind of pop in and out of these places.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So
we're certainly well traveled around Europe, that's for sure.
Well, I really appreciate my 2 years off. I treasure those times. I learned a lot, met a lot of wonderful people. Of course, I've been to England, too. Absolutely beautiful place. I had some experiences there, too.
Go on.
Oh, okay. Well, in Glastonbury, right? I was on the trail of the Holy Grail in Glastonbury. And okay, Nick, I jumped the fence and snuck in with some friends in the abbey at night. But anyway, I drank from the Grail well, and we went to the Glastonbury Abbey, and it was dark at night. We were the only ones there, and I had to get over and climb through the barbed wire, right, to get out. And once I climbed through the barbed wire, you know, it pierced my hand, and it looked like I had some kind of blood stigmata on my hand. And I thought, oh, my friend said, oh, my gosh, you're marked. It marked you. The abbey marked you. And I still have the scar from it on my right hand. So I thought that was an interesting sign, you know, considering the Holy Grail held the blood of Christ. And here I went into the Abbey and I got scarred on my hand by the barbed wire and bled like a stigmata. So it was, I still have it and I think about it.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. Glastonbury is certainly a very spiritual place.
It's very beautiful. I've been there a couple of times. And also to Salisbury and to Stonehenge. You know, I find, and Avebury, just, the UK is just filled with these incredible places. Now, I find Stonehenge, of course, very famous for standing stones, and I find it to be very magnetic. I find that I had very vivid dreams near Stonehenge. So these earth forces, these magnetic forces that are in the earth, ley lines, can really not just affect us physically, but our astral in our subconscious body, to the point that, you know, it really can enhance our dreams. I know I had vivid dreams. I dreamed that I was involved in some kind of love triangle in the past that resulted in a crime of passion. And I don't know if I was the one that pulled the trigger or if I was on the receiving end. But yeah, that's what I dreamed.
Well, you know, these places are... Like I said, they are all intercrossed with these ley lines, which, you know, which are all over the world. And a lot of these sites, you know, and churches, in fact, cathedrals, are all built on these interacting ley lines around the world.
Yes, and the earth has magnetic places. And I think that's really the secret to how they built the pyramids, through magnetic forces. I think those stones were levitated into place. You know, I've been to the pyramids, too. I don't think they used pulleys. And... our bodies have magnetic resonance too.
It's very possible. I can say I'm in Gloucestershire, so I'm about an hour's north of Stonehenge, give or take, an hour and a half probably.
Well, it's a very energetic place.
That's wonderful. Crystal, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Take care, and I will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Have a good day. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Nina. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today, calling from California in the US.
Yes, I'm from Southern California.
Southern California, lovely. Okay. Now, Nino, you have some experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah. So basically, my story happened in around June of 2022, June 2022. And basically, what was going on was the government, the Pentagon had released that video talking about UAPs and stuff. And I got really, really interested in the subject because right before then, I had been one of these people who never believed in aliens or UFOs, who would laugh about it, kind of like, they would never visit us, you know, that kind of a person, that's who I was. But then when the Pentagon video came out, I got really, really interested, and I started taking it a little more seriously. So then I started researching UFOs a lot, and I asked my friends, because I knew, I had a friend who had a UFO encounter, so I asked him his story again to tell me it again. And I was just like, wow, just like thinking of it in a whole new light. And then my friend's mother, she had an experience too where she had seen a UFO. So I was asking her about that. I was asking them about this on the same night. Anyways, it was a very cloudy night. And then the same night, I'm sitting in my bed and I hear something from above the house. And it sounds kind of like almost like a mechanical whirring, like almost like a strange mechanical sound. Kind of like similar to how a washing machine or a dishwasher machine sounds, just constant, like a constant sound. But it was coming from above the house. And I noticed it and I was just thinking like, what is that? what is that sound? And then maybe not even a minute after I had noticed the sound, it just kind of went away. And then I just thought, okay, that's strange, because this is maybe around 8 p.m. at night. Anyways, I go to sleep. I usually go to sleep around 9 p.m. I wake up very early. And so then this moment happens where I get up from my bed to go into the kitchen to get, you know, some water in the middle of the night like I do all of the time. And as I'm going into the kitchen, I'm walking through the front room, because you have to walk through the front room to get to the kitchen. And in the front room, there's a security device that, you know, connects the whole house, makes sure the door is locked. So you, even though the house is dark, I can still see a very faint blue light in the front room as I pass through it. And as I'm walking, you know, sort of like groggily, blindly to the kitchen to get my water, right at the kitchen table, I see an about 4 foot and a half to 5 foot tall being standing right there next to my kitchen table, staring right back at me. And it was very much like a deer in the woods kind of moment where we catch each other's eyes, obviously, because I'm walking basically right up to it because I didn't even know it was there. I'm just going to the kitchen. And so I stop because I see it, and I'm just like, what am I looking at? And I'm looking right into his eyes. And the eyes, they didn't look like the traditional grays, like how you see depicted in like cartoons where they're gigantic eyes all like taking up like 75% of the head. The eyes were more, I don't know, circular and just very large, maybe almost the size of, a pool table ball. That's how big the eyes were, just black. And it was very slender, and the slenderness was like, I don't know, it was strange because the way that the body was, it seemed almost proportional, except for the head was much larger. Because, you know, when you see a little person and they're shorter, but their appendages are much more stubby, it was not like this. It was much more of a very skinny, slender being. But the other strange thing that I had noticed about the head shape was it wasn't like the traditional gray head shape. It was, I don't even know how to describe it. It almost looked like there was something coming out of the sides of its cheek. And you could not make out any clothing. You could not make out any like hard features or lines. It was very smooth. And so as I catch this thing's eyes, we're both staring at each other for, I don't even know how long it was. Maybe a second, maybe even half of a second, but it felt so long. But then immediately, it was like a snap, and I woke up right back inside of my bed. And I got up, and I was just like, and the only thing that I could think of was that real? Did that just happen? Was that real? Did that just happen to me? And then I was very disturbed, but also calm at the same time, which was strange to me, because I've had experiences where I've seen a shadow person. I've seen a shadow person twice. And when I was startled by that shadow person, I was not calm afterwards. I had a very big freak out, and I was like awake for hours. But after this, what I'll call alien sighting, I was calm when I woke up back in my bed, and I basically told myself, don't worry about it, go back to sleep. And which in my own head, I knew it felt, what? This is strange that I'm so calm, but I was just like, okay, go back to sleep. So I went back to sleep. But I woke up again, like I often do in the middle of the night, and I go back outside to smoke. So I'll usually wake up in the morning and have a smoke. So I woke up having that craving to go smoke. I went to the backyard, to the door to the backyard, and I saw that it was still cloudy outside. And just because it was cloudy, it made me really uneasy. And I thought, no, I'm going to just stay inside. I feel like maybe if I did see something, maybe it's still out here. So let's just stay inside. So then I stayed back inside and went back to sleep. Then I woke up and went to work that day, It was a rainy day. It was thunder and lightning to the extreme, which is very strange for Southern California in the middle of June, which I don't know if that actually is connected, but I don't know. Maybe it is. But yeah, it was just weird. It was extreme thunder and lightning in the middle of June in California. Very not normal. So I went to work, and I work in construction. And so while I'm working, I'm telling my coworker this story that just happened to me last night. And because I'm kind of worried about it, I tell him, you know, oh, I had a dream. Like, it was a dream. So he wouldn't think that I was, like, crazy. And then he reveals to me that he's very into the subject of UFOs. And we started getting into it. He started telling me about all the races of UFOs and all this kind of thing. So we're talking and talking. And then the lightning is getting worse and worse. And it's actually getting closer and closer to where we're working. And we're working through the rain. And there's thunder and lightning really close to us. And it was so close that I was getting really scared. We shouldn't have been working. A weird thing was they ended up telling us that lightning had struck the workshop from our work, basically the shop. They told us that lightning struck it. A little fact that I didn't leave in yet is that I live with my dad. I also work with my dad, and he works at the shop. So I don't know if that was related that, I don't know, this lightning is coming to both of these areas where both me and my dad are in the daytime. I don't know if that's related. It was just strange. Anyways, I'm driving home now. It's the end of the day. And on the freeway, on the 605 South Freeway, I'm driving. And I'm just thinking about all these things. And I'm just trying to put piece together if it was real or not. And as I'm driving, in the distance, I see a black speck in the sky. And I just immediately knew that was not something I recognized. And as I'm driving, I'm staring at it. And it's like flashcards in my head. It's trying to match something to put a label on it. And I just can't figure out what I'm looking at. And it's getting bigger and bigger as I'm coming up to it. And I'm looking at it, and almost looking like it's changing shape. And I, for a second, I was like, is that like a group of Mylar balloons that I'm just confusing for something? And then I'm looking at it more, getting closer, and I'm like, no, that's not balloons. It's almost circular. And the shape was just so hard to define, and the color was hard to define. It was in between black and silver and bronze. It was kind of hard to tell. It was almost like those metals that you see when you change your perspective on it, machine changes. So I'm staring at it, and finally I think, I'm like, I know what it is. It's one of those things that people see and they don't know what they are. And it was maybe about 500 feet from the tallest street lamp. And so as I'm driving, I'm thinking, why is no one stopping? Why is no one seeing this? How is no one on the street taking a photo of this? But I'm driving, and I told myself in my head, like, as soon as I take my camera out to try to take a picture of this, it's either going to be gone or I'm not going to get a picture. I might as well just keep staring at it and enjoy the moment. So then I'm still driving by it, driving right past it until it gets in the rear view of my sight. I've already drove past it and literally sticking my head out of my car in my window to try to see it because I was just so flabbergasted by seeing it. It felt like insanity. And then I don't know what after, so then I'm continuing to drive home, and now I'm stuck with these thoughts, and I know that a lot of cases people can speak to UFOs telepathically, so in my head, I just kind of had a little mini breakdown, and I actually kind of started tearing up, and I telepathically kind of told, you know, whatever I'm seeing or whatever I saw last night, I just telepathically said, I'm not the one. I'm not the person for this. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this anymore. Please don't come back. This is not what I want. And then after that happened, things had pretty much calmed down. And then I had told a couple people, I told my friend, one of my best friends, and I told him how disturbed I was, and he was asking me, well, why were you so disturbed by it? And I said, well, I don't know if I'm scared of an extraterrestrial or anything like that. I guess I just felt more disturbed that it was in my home And, you know, I didn't invite it. We have locks on the door. We have a security system. That didn't stop it. It feels very, I don't know what the word is, but it feels like, gosh, like, when do I expect you next if you don't even knock? And I guess, yeah, we came to that conclusion that I didn't have consent from that. So I guess it disturbed me. So in that moment also, he kind of walked me, my friend is very spiritual like that, but he kind of walked me through that moment too. And he kind of, you know, telepathically again spoke to the alien. And I said, I didn't like how you came into our house without our consent. That's the biggest problem. And so hopefully they heard that. And hopefully, I mean, if they're advanced, they can understand consent. So please, like, I didn't want it to come back. And then that was pretty much the last I had seen of anything. But then I had moved to Redondo Beach the next month, literally the next month. And then maybe last month, it's about 12 midnight. And so I'm sleeping in my bed already. And my partner comes into the bed. And all of a sudden, we hear a really weird sound above the apartment building. And it didn't sound like the first sound that I had heard back in my old house. It sounded different. It sounded almost like a quiet technology sound. You know how like a Tesla, you can hear it, but it's very quiet? It was kind of in that realm of quietness, but it just had a strange extra sound to it. I don't know how to describe pitches and notes and all that, but it was not a normal sound, very loud also. So my partner doesn't believe in UFOs or anything like that. When I told him the original story, he kind of just like was like, oh, okay, sure you did. Sure you saw that. But when we heard this sound, I took note of the sound immediately, and I immediately thought UFO. But I look at him thinking, you know, he doesn't believe in any UFO. And I just say, that was a UFO. And he nods and goes, I think so too. And I was like, what? Why would you agree? You don't believe in this. But it was so strange that I guess he immediately thought the same thing. So then we go to the window, and this is another cloudy night. And right next to the window, it sounds like there's an airplane going above our apartment. But this airplane, it sounds like it's not leaving. It sounds like the airplane is literally driving up and down three blocks. That loud airplane sound, you know, just never leaving. It almost sounded like it was circulating around maybe three or four blocks of the area. It kept coming back, going distant, coming back, which for a good 30 minutes. It was the weirdest thing. I'd never heard anything that sounded like that. I've never heard the sound of like an airplane for more than, you know, a couple of seconds. It goes over you, you hear it, it leaves. But this one, it was almost literally sounded like it was circling the neighborhood. It was the strangest thing that I'd ever heard. But as far as that goes, I would say that is the most of this whole UFO experience I've had. And I've talked to other people from my work. Another person who actually lives in the same area that I saw, the one off of the freeway, he claims to have seen many UFOs in that same area. But yeah, that's what happened. And It was a weird experience. It freaked me out. I don't really believe it was a dream, because the same day I saw the UFO in the house, and then I saw that UAP or the UFO or whatever in the sky the next day. And that same day I had another dream. Well, I don't call it another dream. I had a dream with an alien in it. But in this dream, it was very obvious it was a dream. It wasn't the night before. It was almost this dream was to tell me that the first experience I had wasn't a dream. It was almost to say, no, this is what a dream feels like. And they showed me the alien in the dream. And it was very dreamlike, because it was just a dream. But the first time I experienced it, no, it was not the same. It was not like a dream. It was very much a very short moment that happened that freaked the shit out of me. I don't know. It was very scary. But yeah, that's what happened.
Now, this being that you saw, obviously, you know, you wasn't expecting to have this experience and felt maybe a little bit intrusive that it came into your house. So would you welcome another experience like this if it was maybe announced?
After this whole experience has happened, after listening to more people talk about their experiences, maybe I would be more open, because I feel like when I first had the reaction, maybe it was a little premature. And it's very frightening, and it's not a shock to hear all these stories of people who are like scared out of their minds. This is their first time ever seeing something like this. This is their first time like realizing this is real. You know, so many things go through your head at the same time. Like, I definitely had like a huge reevaluation of like this. My brain thought paradigm shift. I don't know. It was a big shift, and I really don't feel like I'm. It's just so strange, because I'm definitely that person who was laughing about it. How could they ever come here? Why would they bother? But then I saw one, and now maybe I would be down to see one again. I don't know if I knew that it was going to happen. If they sent me a letter and said, we're going to come to your office on this day, reply yes or no, and I had the choice, yeah, I would say, if I was there, yeah. I don't know about. It removes you so fast out of your life.
If only it was easy enough to receive a letter or an email from them, things would be so much, right. So much more easy. And when you saw this being in your kitchen, was it physical, solid being?
They were definitely there in the room with me. They were not a projection. Definitely felt like if I were to reach out and touch it, that I would not want to do that, but it was definitely there.
And literally a few seconds, and then you're straight back in bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was back in bed. And I keep trying to remember that part too, from the moment of being awake and standing to the moment of me being asleep in bed, because I'm like, well, obviously something had to happen in between that time. They must have done, like, if this was real, right, and if this happened, then this being must have done something to get me back to sleep. Like, how? But it's just so strange. Because the way that I woke up, too, it just seemed, like, perfectly comfortable, like nothing ever happened. But
I mean, these experiences were, you know, they were very recent. I mean, it was only, what, June of last year. So obviously the memories are still quite fresh, and having these experiences has completely changed your whole outlook on the subject.
It really has, because like I was saying before, I was a huge skeptic, but now I've basically re-looked at all of the UFO things that I've already looked at before when I was a skeptic, and just looking at them all with new light, just kind of like thinking, okay, well, how much of this is real? Like, how many of these stories are probably real? And then just like thinking about it in that way. And then now I tell everybody that I come across, like, I won't stop talking about it. You'll listen to me about UFOs. I don't stop now. And I tell everybody my story. A lot of people report back to me that either they've seen something or they know somebody who's seen something. But yeah. And yeah, I just look at life differently. I feel different. And big problems, maybe they don't matter as much, or maybe it's not that hard. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You know, sometimes that when you have these experiences, you know, and you realize, you know, there's so much more out there that, you know, we don't understand. So it kind of makes your own personal problems seem very small compared to what's possible in the rest of the universe.
It's funny because, as like I said before, I've seen shadow people, and I feel like my house I used to live in for when I was younger, haunted. But after seeing the terrestrial being extraterrestrial, all those kind of shadow people and ghost stories, they feel so terrestrial. Like, I don't know how to describe it now. They feel so unscary compared to that. I was very scared after my shadow people experiences, but when I think back to them now, I'm like, that was nothing. That was just a shadow, and I was scared of it. But this is a being. This is much more to deal with. Yeah, it just makes me feel like, yeah, ghosts or shadow people, they're nothing to worry about at this point.
Well, if you are paid another visit, Nino, you know, get in contact and let us know when they give you an update.
I hope they don't, but...
That's wonderful, Nino.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I love the show. I just wanted to say real quick, I think everybody should stop using the word UAP. You know, I think the government is doing a lot to take away the power of the word UFO with that new word. They're taking away the word object. They're taking away the word flying. You know, that's a big, those are two big descriptors. And to start all of a sudden calling it unidentified aerial phenomenon makes it sound so pathetic and mundane. Like anything can be an aerial phenomenon. A cloud can be an aerial phenomenon. But a flying object is quite a different thing. And I think that we need to stop the use of UAP as a word. It's what is that? Newspeak? It's very 1984. That's just what I got to say on that.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I'm very old-fashioned. I prefer the term UFO. And plus, I don't really want to change the name of my show.
Right.
UAP Chronicles podcast doesn't sound very good.
Not quite a ring to it, no. All right, well, thank you very much, Nick.
Nino, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
No problem, anytime. If they come back to me, if there's a second sighting.
That would be great. That would be great, Nino. Okay, great stuff. All right, enjoy your day, Nino, and take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Christo and Nino for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.